Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, among the many things that we thank you for, we especially now express our gratitude for your word, for the nourishment that comes from it, for the strength that comes from it, for the energy that comes from it, for the challenge and conviction and the power that we experience through your word, your power, to make us more into the likeness of Christ. And so now we give you thanks for your word and pray that you help me to proclaim it in the name of Jesus Christ and for his glory. We pray through him. Amen. There's an author named Gordon T. Smith. He tells about a time when he was a teenager in the back seat of the family car, and they were returning home from a trip to the coast. He says, "My mother, as was her pattern, spoke the words, 'Thank God for traveling mercies,' as we pulled into our driveway. I pointed out," he says, "with classic teenage wisdom, that there were thousands of cars on the road that day. So why should we presume that somehow the hand of God was upon our particular vehicle, guiding us along?" Her response was poignant and timely. "Oh, Gordon, yes, indeed, the mercy and goodness of God is very much on each of the cars and trucks along the road. The difference is that Christians give thanks." Now, during the course of this day, large numbers of families will pull into driveways all across America returning home from Thanksgiving travels. If there were ever a time to express gratitude for safe journeys, surely a holiday where the focus is on the expression of thanks is a prime opportunity. And I think that should be especially true of Christians whose basic posture in life, like his mother reminded us, is thankfulness. That's our basic posture in life as followers of Jesus. Maybe you stayed put for Thanksgiving. Maybe you traveled locally. Maybe you went a distance and then left early to beat the rush home. Whatever the particular case, here you are this morning in the Lord's house, and this is especially a gathering of the grateful. A gathering of the grateful, ready to feast on a generous portion of God's word. Now, in this gathering where we assemble to be nourished by the word of God and to feed on what God says to us, we already pretty much know who's going to be leading us in prayer. But in your gatherings on Thanksgiving Day, that may not have been as clear cut. Once the table and chairs were set up, the food was set out, and everyone was assembled, the time came for one of those critical decisions. Who's going to say the blessing? Who's going to say the blessing? Well, as you can probably guess, in our family, with a minister in the family, it's sort of the default to call upon me to lead it, especially when it comes to time for public prayer, whether here in the house of the Lord or in your own house. I usually oblige, though there are some times when I might try to delegate it to somebody else in the family or the household, or maybe get to them early before somebody else does and ask them if you'll say the prayer this time. So there are different ways to go about that. This Thanksgiving prayer that we experience, this call to prayer, can be an awkward sort of moment of silence sometimes when heads drop or people start glimpsing at one another to see, is there going to be a brave volunteer who's going to say it? Well, we need to call upon somebody. At one level, it may seem like just a mere holiday formality, something that needs to be done and taken care of, but we need to remember that there's important business going on in the Thanksgiving prayer, whoever says it. And that important business is the business of worship. Someone in your family or among your friends there in that gathering has been charged with the responsibility to lead everybody into the presence of God. That's a crucial part of what's happening. And in the presence of God, gratitude is the basic posture. The rabbis had a saying, in the future, all sacrifices will cease, but the offering of thanks will not cease to all eternity. So think of your family's Thanksgiving prayer as a sacred sort of moment when you enter into the presence of God with all others giving thanks and praise to God. In those few moments of prayer, your family gathering is brought up and into a larger cosmic gathering of thanksgiving and praise that's always going on. And when you add your prayer in there and join in with it, you're putting your thanks and praise in there as well with this great assembly of gratitude. I think that's one of the reasons that page after page of Scripture urges us to continual gratitude and thankfulness. And Paul's letters are part of that summons to gratitude. He certainly practices what he preaches. For one thing, he regularly opens his letters by giving thanks for brothers and sisters in Christ to whom he's writing in that particular church. And from there, he uses other parts of his letters to underscore the importance of living gratefully, especially in light of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. I'm struck really by how one person puts it when he says, Paul is a Thanksgiving junkie, and he is so because he understands that thankfulness is not one of many virtues that characterizes the Christian life, but is the characteristic of faith. Thankfulness, gratitude. And the way Paul sees it, unrighteousness and ungratefulness go hand in hand as well. If you flip it around to the other side, trace our greed, our envy, our anger, our lust, all our other sins to their root, Paul says, and you'll find something. You'll find a failure to live thankfully. In Romans, he says this of humankind, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So according to Paul, all the violence and the chaos and the despair and other kinds of problems and issues that we experience here on this planet in our individual lives, in our life as humankind, are grounded in a worship problem, namely a failure to praise and thank God and live in dependence on God as our Creator and Savior. It's no wonder then that Paul consistently speaks to the folks he writes to in these churches with these letters about the need for continual thanksgiving, lives steady in gratitude. And maybe that's partly because of so many other expressions of righteousness that were rooted in thankfulness. Even one of the Roman philosophers, Cicero, was onto something when he said, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the others. The parent of all the other virtues. Or maybe it's also because our default position sometimes seems to be ungratefulness instead of gratefulness. Or at least we're prone to take things for granted or to live with a strong sense of entitlement. These are issues that go into the mix as well. There was a YouTube segment about a decade ago where a comedian was on one of the late night talk shows being interviewed by the host, and he was talking about how frustrated people often get with their airline, their air flights, over often seemingly fairly minor kinds of things. He says, everything is amazing right now, and nobody's happy. He went on to describe how he was on one of the first flights that actually had Wi-Fi internet access on it. And yet in a few minutes, when that service broke down, the man sitting beside him started to swear in disgust. He said how quickly the world owes him something that he didn't even know existed 10 seconds ago. Think about it, our attitudes sometimes. He talked on about how folks will describe, you know, less than perfect airline flights, true, but as if they were horror shows. It was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. And then we get on the plane and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. And he just sort of ironically referred, oh really? Didn't you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Didn't you partake in the miracle of human flight? He says, everybody on a plane ought to be saying, oh my God, wow, I'm in a chair that's up in the sky. Think about it. And then he spoke of the passenger who tried to take his seat and tilt it back a little bit and grumbled, well, it doesn't move very far. As others have noted, we can recognize ourselves in this humorous description, our frustration when things don't go the way that we had planned, or our impatience with technology or with other people as well. All these can remind us of how much we actually take for granted, or ways that we are living ungratefully. Thornton Wilder wrote a play in 1938 called Our Town, and there's a character in that play, her name is Emily, and she's given one day to return to the world after she has died. And as she does so, she calls out, goodbye, Grover's Corners, Mama and Papa. Goodbye to ticking clocks and my butternut tree and Mama's flowers and food and coffee and new iron dresses and hot baths and sleeping and waking up. Oh, Earth, you're too wonderful for anyone to realize you. Notice how she's going through all these just sort of normal, everyday routine things that we can not notice or not pay much attention to or not really consider gratefully. Oh, Earth, you're too wonderful for anyone to realize you. Do any human beings ever realize life while they live it? Every minute. Realizing life while you live it, not just once you're past it looking back and seeing it, but while it's happening, to see it and live it in that way. Living with gratitude, that takes a certain kind of alertness and awareness and a vigilance about what's happening around you, who's there, what experiences and gifts are there in your life. Living daily, moment by moment, to notice the gifts that easily become sort of routine to us or become invisible to us, to notice them and truly see them and give thanks for them. Maybe that's why Paul is on the right track, because he not only urges thankfulness, he speaks about continual thankfulness, steady gratitude. In other words, not just an occasional expression of appreciation to God, though that's important, not just a single day recognized each year as a day of gratitude, though that's good as well, but thankfulness meaning something much broader, something much deeper, living in a constant state of gratitude means living thanksgiving as a mode of being, as a way of life. And I think we can hear that coming through in our scripture passages that I read earlier from Colossians. Paul says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Thankfulness, says Paul, is what happens when you live in a vital relationship with Jesus Christ and in his power and strength. In other words, you're not grateful simply because somebody told you to be grateful. Now, this is the time of the year when some of those kinds of commands or summaries are brought back to mind for us to be thankful in some way or another. You may recall some of them yourself. Be thankful. Count your blessings. You need an attitude of gratitude. Your glass is half full, not half empty. These are the kinds of commands or exhortations that we often hear around this time of the year, and they certainly have their truth in them, and they have a place in our lives, but I think they also have their limits, and they can only take us so far, because it has to be more than just a matter of being told to be thankful, though that can help us. It has to be more. What we need more than anything, says Paul, is the grace of God creating thankfulness in us through relationship with Jesus Christ in our hearts. That's why Paul reminds the Colossians that receiving Christ was the beginning point of their faith, and cultivating their relationship with Christ will enable them to continue in that life in Christ more effectively. And the way to stay in solidarity with Christ, united to Christ by faith, is through word and worship, through fellowship and service and ministry. Otherwise, all we're doing is we're left to ourselves to try to muster up some gratitude by our own willpower and strength. And Paul says it comes from being united to Christ by faith, the grace of God creating gratitude in you. Not just a drip of appreciation here or there, or a drop of thankfulness here or there, but what does he say? He says, you being filled to the brim, overflowing with thankfulness because of Christ dwelling in you richly and faithfully and effectively. So we need the grace of God creating thankfulness in our hearts to overflow with thankfulness. I think Paul calls for something similar when he writes to the Thessalonians. Whether praying, working, worshiping, witnessing, or waiting for the Lord, they're to do so, he says, with constant gratitude. Give thanks, he says, in all circumstances. In all circumstances. There was a Scottish minister named Alexander White, and he had a way of offering up uplifting prayers from the pulpit, because he was especially always leading the people in giving thanks for something. One day there was a worship service, and it was a particularly gloomy day, so there was one person sitting there in the pews in church thinking, surely the pastor this time won't be able to come up with anything to uplift us on a day that is like this. A wretched day like this. But much to his surprise, White began praying, "We thank you, O God, that it is not always like this." That's sort of a lighthearted example of giving thanks in all circumstances. But we also know that we face and go through more severe circumstances in life that can make us feel like giving thanks is a very remote possibility right now for me. Situations of suffering and pain, situations of injustice and oppression, situations of disease and death and discord and disruption and disaster and disappointment. When we affirm that we should always be giving thanks, that doesn't really mean that suffering and sorrow are only momentary things or just minor distractions. That's not really the way that we're looking at it. Doesn't mean that we should live in denial about the realities that we often face and that others face in their life that can sometimes cause us to doubt or question the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. Giving thanks in all circumstances doesn't mean turning a blind eye to reality and what's happening in our lives, in the lives of our families, our community, or the nation and the world. It does mean acknowledging and seeing those things clearly and facing them squarely, facing those dark and distressing experiences with honesty about the depth of our fear or the limits of our own understanding. So yes, facing them honestly, but somehow at the same time cultivating a durable and lasting, deep-seated gratefulness that endures and perseveres through all those kinds of things, a kind of gratitude that relies on the unchanging realities of God as Creator, Savior, Sustainer in every kind of condition and circumstance. Maybe that's why Paul, in that second piece of our scripture passage today, in Colossians, comes back to thanks over and over. In verse 15, he just comes right out and says it, be thankful. And then in verse 16, he reminds us that our worship assemblies are to be what I spoke of earlier, a gathering of the grateful. So first he says, be thankful. And then he reminds them and us that we're to be a gathering of the grateful. And then, just in case they and we still haven't gotten the point, Paul reminds us that the entire scope of your life and my life, day in and day out, is to be characterized by gratitude. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. Giving thanks to the Father through Him. Let's take a moment before we have the prayer that usually closes the sermon, and maybe you'd like to just voice something for which you're deeply grateful, especially this year. In this season, Thanksgiving Day has come and gone, but gratitude is always in season for followers of Jesus. So we wanted today's service to be partly about Thanksgiving beyond just Thursday and into what's ahead of us through Advent leading up to Christmas, but not just dropping the gratitude quickly. Would you like to voice something for which you're thankful today that would uplift and encourage folks here too? Jerry?
Thank you.
we'll have our closing prayer then, and they'll get Willis for us while they're praying. Thank you for voicing your gratitude. Others, I know you're grateful too, even if you didn't voice it aloud. So we're going to start our prayer in silence so everybody can be in God's presence gratefully, and then I'll bring the prayer to a close. Good and generous God, every day we are in the midst of and surrounded by your gifts. Give us eyes to see them and ears to hear them, and look upon us with mercy, we pray, for our ingratitude, for those ways that we are unthankful. We pray that you join us more firmly to Christ, that he will dwell in us more fully and abundantly, and that we will overflow with thankfulness day by day, moment by moment, in all circumstances, in ways that bring praise and honor and glory to you. We just pray now with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We're going to have our hymn of